folks. How are you? Got a question. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you just didn't know how to tell somebody something? Maybe you're in that sticky situation. Maybe they stink. Maybe they did something that was annoying. Well, my guest today is Tim McAfee, and he is the author of Solving Sticky People Problems. So we're going to talk about that. How do you approach somebody? How do you do it with humility? But, you know, I kind of threw out the thing about stinky people. Woo! Yeah. How do you do that? So, before we get into it, let me ask you, are you a pet owner? If you are, remember, please be responsible and have your pets spayed or neutered. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's do it now.
Really, the origin of it is that I was a student and I went to college and I would ask the teachers a lot of questions. And sometimes I drove them a little bit crazy, maybe. And I would ask them sometimes tough questions. You know, how do you do this? This, you know, a real prickly issue, like kind of what's in the book. And they couldn't really answer. They tried, but they really, you know, couldn't answer the question. And then I started working part-time jobs. And I asked some of those bosses too, you know, how do you deal with some of these prickly issues? And again, they would try, but not really grasping it. And then I started teaching some courses and on a college level. And I thought, you know, the teacher's guides are going to definitely have the answers to a lot of my questions. Wasn't there. Then I started working for Dun & Bradstreet and traveling across the country with these great curricula and thinking, you know, I'm going to learn something here while I'm teaching it. And it wasn't there. So I thought, what is it that goes into solving these prickly issues? What has worked in the past? And came up with this formula.
So can you give me an example of what this prickly thing might be?
Sure. So it's everything from, first of all, you know, simple delegation and the employees don't do what you ask them to do, to the boss's daughter is trying to change her schedule, to employee comes back slurring and smelling of alcohol from lunch. But if you don't mind, Chuck, I'd like to jump into the granddaddy of issues, which is the personal odor problem. And it's something that people react like that, right? We smile, we say, oh my gosh, what am I gonna? Because most of the time, statistically, we don't deal with it. And I'm gonna be talking about managers mostly, but I will tell you from my experience that managing people is very similar to teaching students, to raising children. I have four grown kids, to even taking care of customers. I spend a lot of time taking care of customers too. And it's like this communication respect thing going on or something. So here we are in the, you know, we've got somebody with a personal odor. And what do? And most of the time, managers don't do anything. They shy away from it because they think, well, you know, maybe the person will leave. Maybe it'll clear up on its own. Maybe we should have somebody else, you know, take care of it. And none of that works. That's one example of a real excruciatingly painful issue.
You know, with that, you're so right, because I don't know if it's the same for everybody, but we are afraid to hurt their feelings or something.
Absolutely. You know?
So, I think body odor, bad breath, all that might all play into that same thing. So,
totally.
How does that employer, how does that person go about doing this delicately?
Yeah. So
or that bluntly. Really,
that really is the question, and you hit on a really important thing, Chuck. You said, you know, we don't want to hurt their feelings, and we don't. We really don't. We want to. You know, in a world which needs it so desperately, we want to be compassionate and kind, but we also want to take care of the issue for ourselves, the managers, for the fellow employees, for the customers, and for the employee, him or herself, that is actually dealing with it. It's not healthy for them to not address this. So going back to what I mentioned before, like I tried to figure out what has worked, and I came up with this formula. You know, every single time we've had an effective solution, it contained three things. And this is going to sound a little corny, but stay with me if you would. it's very potent. And the formula is PHP, which stands for purity, humility, and patience. And again, it sounds Pollyanna-ish, sounds touchy-feely, but it really is very potent. So the way that this works, purity means purity of intentions, meaning, you know, we can talk about honesty and integrity till the sun goes down, but really there's got to be a purity of intention. We've got to really care about the person and what we're doing and this whole solution, and not be brutally honest, but we have got to be honest. So I'd like to demonstrate this in a moment, if I could. And the H stands for humility, which we need confidence in dealing with issues like this. But once our ego gets in the way, it just screws things up. And the last P is patience, PHP, patience. And patience with ourselves, that it may not resolve itself immediately, but it will. And patience with the employee, you know, because when we say something like this to someone, they could cry. That happens a lot. They could storm out of the room. They could deflect, you know, and blame somebody else. And, you know, what about this one and that one? Or they could get really PO'd and start yelling at us. Or they could stare at us. I mean, all these things are pretty common and daunting. Or they could go flying out of the room. So patience is with the whole situation. PHP.
I think the part about this whole, the PHP, because I love that. Purity seems like it would be the most difficult part of the PHP process, even though you've got that first, is how ego, you said, we'll get into it. So I look at ego, and then that purity is how can one do that with that purity?
You know, you're right about that's an intuitive thing you just said, because most people think, well, yeah, I can be honest. But really, a lot of the time we think we're being honest, but we're kind of stretching the truth a little bit. So you're right. That's vital to have that real pure intention that, man, I really want this to work. So let's say you have an employee and his name is Roger. And I hope none of our listeners out there have, you know, a problem with Roger, but maybe they do. But, you know, I want to say it could just as easily be a Helen or any, but let's say Roger, just for, I don't know why that came to my mind. So to talk to Roger, we would do it in a quiet place, a silent place. I would suggest not a formal office, because something happens when people get called to the main office. And in some companies, you know, we have policies where we have to have a witness and all that stuff. I'm not saying break employee policies. In fact, we should keep to those policies for fairness and consistency, but a lot of companies don't. And you can do this in a lot of companies. So to say to Roger, Roger, I just want to bring something to your attention. Roger, I'm not totally sure how to start this conversation. That's the humility part of it, because we really don't know how. And so, Roger, I want you to know that everybody's not talking about this or anything like that. It's not all over the place. Roger, it's come to my attention that you have a personal odor problem. I'm not even sure how to solve it, Roger. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. And everybody's not talking about it. The only thing I'm going to do with this, I have to document it and send it to HR, but not going to discuss it with anyone else. I don't have a solution. It is an issue. Don't ask me where it came from, but I want to assure you that it's not all over the place, and I would want somebody to talk to me about this if it were me, and then stop talking. That's one of the hardest conversations anybody could ever have, ever. And Roger could react one of those five or six ways that I mentioned, you know, the cry or the leave or the yell or, and here's where the patience comes in. And let's say he leaves. Let's say he says, is that it? Okay. And just leaves. And you say to yourself as the manager, oh no, boy, did I screw that up. But you really didn't, because you got the word out. And it's going to fix itself. 90% of the time, it's an awareness thing. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I feel like I'm rambling here, but that's the essence of a problem solution.
And you know, the thing is, even though we're talking about odor, This really is everything. Not just odor. It's how to really approach people, like I said, with the PHP. I mean, with purity, and really your honest intent and that patience. So just because we're talking about odor, don't think that that's all we mean. So I just want to get that point across, because as employees, employers, friends, coworkers, it's a difficult thing to approach people, I think, just with that pure intent to say, hey, I don't know how to bring this up, like you said, but, you know, some people have said that there is whatever XYZ type of thing. But, yep. You know, going with your body odor, do we give off these steps in approaching? You know, sometimes you might be next to somebody and you yourself, you might go like this and hope that they get the hint. Or do we just walk right up there? And folks that are listening, what I did is I put my nose under my arm, kind of like, do I smell? Just for the hopes that that person next to me is going to check themselves. Do we do that, or do we just go right into it and, you know, like you said, have that conversation, not around people, but hey, walk with me kind of thing.
So it's a really, really great question that you bring up. And for those who aren't watching, Chuck just did something really funny. It was pretty comical the way he did it. But I think the answer to that is it depends. And what that means, It's contingent on the situation. Meaning, if you're the manager of this person, I would definitely suggest dealing with it the way that I suggested. Like, sometimes you'll have a situation where, you know, there's, and I'll deepen my voice a little bit. We know where the guys are working in the warehouse. And I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just trying to, you know, like visualize this a little bit more. And they oftentimes, I'm being sexist a little bit here, but they'll oftentimes say, you know, I got no trouble telling one of the guys, man, you stink, what's clean up your act. And they do. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but oftentimes it's in front of other people. And even though it doesn't seem to embarrass people, it often does. I mean, people remember things like that. So this, I really do recommend the private approach, but you reminded me of something else. What if, you know, what if it's a coworker, or what if it's a friend, and or even a family relative? I mean, it really depends on the situation. And truly, I think, how much you want to help that person. And I know that sounds like a weird question, but, you know, sometimes the way people are going to react to this is not going to be good. They're going to be offended, and they might tell you that you're offended or offensive. But if we do it privately, I've found that that works over 100% of the time. It's hard to do, but it's effective.
Yeah. And like you use that example of warehouse workers, and we're kind of stereotyping on this, but
yes, we are. Yeah,
I think there's a lot of no, because I'm going to do it right now too, because you're exactly right. We might be the guys working in the warehouse, and we'll say, dude, you smell.
Exactly.
And we'll do it in front of everybody, thinking that we're being smart and kind just to, you know, joke and that they'll get it. But it doesn't matter how tough the person is, and does not matter what they say to you, like, didn't bother me. It does. It even a little bit means that it bothered. So the best approach, like I said, no matter what, is away from everybody else. And then you could say, dude, you kind of stink, or something like that. But don't do it in front of people. I think that's the biggest key. And also, it really depends on that relationship that you have with that person too, I think, right? Because if we're talking in a place of business and you're the boss, it's a little bit of a different approach.
Right. I think what is similar, like I mentioned before, if a company has an HR policy, we should follow that policy, because two things that employees really want, honestly, I think what everybody wants, but employees I'll talk about right now, is fairness and consistency. That's what they want. They want to be treated fairly, and they want across the board to that they're being treated the same as other people. An unemployment law judge in New York State once told me, it's better to break the law than treat your people fairly and consistently than to keep to every letter of the law, but treat them differently. And I thought, wow, this is interesting, coming from a a judge. And what he was talking about was that fairness and consistency. So the wording, I think, should be similar. And there's something else that I picked up a long time ago called use your pass the butter voice, which is a very neutral voice, non-emotional and calm. And it doesn't mean, you know, like when you're saying the humble thing, you know, and Roger, I'm not sure how to start this. We don't have to do that. But there's an adage in management that says, you know, never let them see you sweat. I think you should let them see you sweat a little bit, you know, let them in a little bit to your own humility.
You know, and the thing that you mentioned about HR, and this goes, it doesn't matter if it's your supervisor or your just a coworker. If you say you stink, that can be taken. The other person, the person who may have that odor issue, can bring it up with HR and say that was insensitive and bring up something against you. So that is another reason to do it in that private situation and have humility when you do it. Don't be mean about it. You're making me think so much about this that it really makes a difference of how you approach somebody.
I take that as a very big compliment coming from you, because I know you've engaged in an awful lot of deep thinking type discussions about a lot of things, and so I agree personally.
Yeah. Have you run across any issues like this yourself where you have had to approach a coworker or should I say subordinate and, you know, say, hey, let's talk about this, or I have this thing?
Yes, I have. I mean, I could probably count on two hands the amount of times in my 40-year career that I've had to have a prickly conversation about odor. But there's a number of alcohol-related conversations, and that gets to be a really tricky thing because, you know, is it ADA or is it not? You know, is it a disability or is it not? And different people look at that differently, and some of the courts are even confused about that. But the if we start by being kind, and again, I often think people say, wow, that sounds, you know, too nice, touchy-feely. Yeah. But it's not. I like there's a Willie Nelson line in the song that says, it ain't that I'm wiser, it's just that I spent more years with my back to the wall. Now, the reason I speak with such conviction about this is because I've screwed up a few times, you know, and you have bad conversations with people and you say, oh man, you know that I blew that one, and you live and learn. So that's why this, I'm hanging my hat on this formula, because it really seems to work.
I'd like to ask you something about that, like you said, the smell of the alcohol on the breath type of thing. Because, you know, I had heard during our pandemic, during the time that we stayed home, a lot of people started drinking more. Now we're coming back into the workplace. And that could happen. I mean, it's very well that it is happening, you know. How do you and how would you approach somebody that you might smell the alcohol on their breath?
So it's a very good point about the pandemic. A lot of things changed during the pandemic, as we all know, and that is one of them. And that's a statistic a lot of people are not aware of. So thanks for bringing that up, because that's a manager should know that. And people have come back with a lot of baggage, you know, a lot of pounds, a lot of weight, a lot of addictions even, or issues. So at the risk of oversimplifying it, this PHP concept really can and should be applied to everything. Do you mind if I tell a quick story about how I applied it, and I didn't even know I was applying it, but it worked out with an alcohol?
Yeah, please, please do, yes.
came back to work, and people said to me right away, I was the store manager, and people said, Tim, you got to get rid of her. You know, we can't have people like that around. Employees are telling me that. Some of the, my fellow managers are saying, what are you fooling around for? And one person I know, it's an expression that I hate, but I'll repeat it anyway. He said, come on, man up. And I hate that expression, but the security people are telling me, you know, we can't have this. One customer said, you know, what is this place turning into? I didn't know what to do, Chuck. So I didn't do anything. And here's what I mean by that. We escorted her into an office, and I asked two security people, male and female, to take her home safely. I called her emergency contact, which was her sister. Her sister wasn't surprised. She said, thanks for calling. You know, I'll take it from here. Nothing else, though. And still I'm wondering. So my boss said to me, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. The next day, people are asking me, and I felt silly. I felt kind of dumb. I don't know what to do. Here I've got experience. I did seminars on this. I went to school for this. Didn't know what to do. The second day, afternoon, my boss said, Tim, you got to, by tomorrow, you got to make some kind of decision here. I said, okay. Third morning, she shows up at my office door and says to me, may I have a word? And I said, sure. And she said, I'm very sorry about the other day. I have a certain kind of diabetic issue. I don't drink at all. It manifests itself this way. I'm very sorry. I can control it. I didn't that day. It won't happen again. Is there a chance of me coming back? And I said, I think so, sure. And that was it. And I learned something very valuable. If I really didn't listen to, you know, my gut, my inner sense, on the book cover, it I don't know if the viewers can see it from here, but it says, you know, using your inner sense. And that's what it was. It was like this, the PHP was flooding into me like brain chemicals. And I didn't even realize, but I knew not to act. And I knew just to let the situation take care of itself. I was on top of it, kept it safe, but didn't make any decisions because it simply wasn't time. That patience kicked in. The humility was all over it, whether I liked it or not. And I was just being upfront with myself and her and the whole company. I'll never forget that story.
Timing. Totally. But also, as soon as you started saying this story, and then I know it's rude when all of a sudden your brain starts going, but my brain went, and my first thought was diabetes, because you don't know, it's ketones. So they give off a sweet smell off of their breath from the ketones if they're diabetic. So it could smell like alcohol or something like that to some people. So yes, absolutely. You can't jump to a conclusion on these type of things. So I say thank you very much for sharing that story, because that, although your book really isn't about the diabetes things, I think it will also help people to go, oh, there are other extenuating factors as to why that is happening with that person. Because I don't want to go on the diabetic thing, but yeah, if you start getting either too low or too high on your glucose, they might either start slurring their words, they might start talking too fast, or they might act a little strange. Give some patience and ask. No? Ask. Yeah.
And that's important information. So as a manager then, I didn't have that information. And the other, I think, key ingredient here is that most people probably don't have that information. I do now. You do. But because we managers are not trained necessarily, you know, in situations like that. So to have a general way to deal or not deal, you know, correctly with the situation at that time is the safest way to go. But yeah, you're right. I think that's exactly what happened with her.
And you know, the perfect thing is we're talking about this right now, and the perfect thing for folks out there is to get the book, right? This is going to give you some stories, some insight, some steps to follow and to really understand. And I also like how, like I said, it's oftentimes we should also listen to our gut, a gut feeling. You know, we hear people say, Oh, I had a gut feeling. Well, why didn't you follow it?
Right. It's true. So,
Tim, do you mind letting everybody know where they can find this information on your book and how they can purchase the book? And I know you've got a website.
Be very happy to, Chuck. Thanks for that opportunity. So I do encourage people to go to the website, stickypeopleproblems.com, stickypeopleproblems.com. And there, if they want, they can sign up for a free, no obligation, Sticky Update. Get it? Sticky Update. And we don't overwhelm them, but it's short snippets, which are helpful for people. But to answer the question also, the book is available all over the place, at wherever books are sold. There's an Amazon link on the site, of course. And it really does have a powerful formula in it. I'm not promising that it's riveting reading, you know, or anything like that. Ask my wife, she'll tell you it's a sleeper, but the formula in there is really quite powerful. And my contact info's on there, and I'm happy to talk to any of your awesome viewers and listeners, because I really believe in this stuff.
Well, I'm going to say this. Whether you have a curiosity in this or not, you at least have to go there and you have to click on his 2-minute video and watch it.
Appreciate that.
Great job on that. Great guitar playing, too.
You're too kind. And you're a real musician. I see the guitars in the background, so that means a lot.
I love music. But, you know, in all seriousness, this topic it's a serious thing. And it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing for both people on both ends, you know, whether you're the person that's saying it or whether you're the person that's receiving it. So I encourage people, you know, get solving sticky people problems and find out what to do. Don't be the dude that says, dude, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Don't say dude. May I just piggyback on one other thing that you said, Chuck?
Absolutely.
Do we have time? You said just a couple minutes ago, ask. And that's a powerful word. And I share that with the students too. Ask. The answer is always no, or you don't know what the answer is if you don't ask. And I add to that the person who is in control is the one asking the questions. And control is not a dirty word. You want to have, if you have people's best interest at heart, you want to have control of yourself, of your destination, of your, you know, your life in general. And a way to do that is to ask questions of other people. But I concur with what you said about information. Ask and read and find out and discover. And, you know, that's the way we all get just a little smarter or something like that.
It is. We heard it, or at least maybe in our age bracket when we were younger, the dumbest question is the one that you don't ask,
right?
Pretty much. So, you know, it's like you said, ask. There's no harm in asking. So, I've got to say this. We went right to the point in this conversation. We really did. It's a perfect nugget of information.
I just want to share one more thing, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
The forward writer, Barbara Luttrell, she passed away a few years ago, but she was the editor of Working Woman, Working Mother magazines. And she was good enough to write the forward. And there's a snippet that always comes to mind. She said a lot of good things, but she said, it's a shortcut to management sanity. And I often think about that. Because, you know, we study and we gruel and we memorize and it's not as complicated. It really does come down to simple, however you started the conversation, you know, we start talking about consideration and kindness and, you know, all that good stuff. But it is good.
I've got to ask you this, because I didn't at the top of the conversation, is how did you come up with this title?
I like alliteration, like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and I'm not sure. It's a good question. It is catchy, isn't it? I mean, I kind of like it too. And I guess in conversations with people, you know, in how do you deal with this, the word sticky kept coming up, sticky and prickly. And problems is a word that I enjoy substituting the word, you know, opportunity. We don't have problems. We just have golden, unresolved opportunities. But let's face it, out there in the workplace, you know, what do we say? Boss, I got a problem. And so they're simple words. I appreciate your kindness on the title, your kind words on that.
Well, it's, you know, the book is the basic red, but with the bold text, and like I said, it's catchy. It just jumps out. Sticky, especially sticky. It just sticks with you.
One of the publishers, it's published by Morgan James, and David said he looked at the paper clips with the tape on it, and he said that must be like the workers in the office, you know, the hard working workers there and taping things together. And I said, you know, I'm not sure. My son actually did that graphic. He's a graphic artist, and he did that. And I'm not sure what he was thinking, but I said, yeah, I'll take that. That makes sense to me. You know, we're out there pounding the pavements, we're grinding it out, we're working hard, and you know, and life is messy sometimes, but that's okay. Let's approach it with gusto and go for it, or something like that.
It's like I said, we got right to the point on this, and it's the whole thing about this. Again, I'm just gonna circle around and sure, say that it's about your humility, just really being pure about your approach. And again, we mainly focus on, you know, the odor and things like that, but this goes with anything in life in general, about humility, just about not only about being honest to somebody else, but being honest to yourself, I think.
Absolutely.
So I just want to say thank you on that. You know, just really, it makes me think too, about how I would approach and how I will begin to approach people and really think about instead of reacting. And if any of that makes sense to anybody else, because I think we react a lot of times rather than think before we say. So,
amen. Totally.